You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
The live broadcast for tonight's Political Cesspool. It's Saturday evening, February 11th, and we're with you this evening from AM 1600 WMQM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AMFM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online, thepoliticalcesspool.org, in addition to other ways you can listen to us. Last March, nearly every major media outlet in America attempted to contact me for an interview in hopes that I would talk to them about my conversation with Donald Trump Jr. Now, I rejected every request without exception, except for Radio 314. When they called, I listened, and I got back in touch with Lana Lochtiff's team, and we set up an interview that covered a variety of topics. I actually reposted that interview from last March to our website just yesterday, and it's aged quite well over the course of the last year and was proven to be, as it turned out, quite prophetic. And since then, we have formed a strong bond with the Red Ice family of programming, teaming up with Lana and Henrik Palmgren during some of the most pivotal moments of last year, including live broadcast during the presidential debates, during the election night coverage, the actual moment Donald Trump won the presidency, an Inauguration Day special, and much, much more. And with that being said, very happy to announce to you that Lana Lochtiff is making another appearance with us tonight as our featured guest as we continue to talk Trump, and she will fill us in on her latest projects as well. Of course, Lana is the hostess of Radio 314, a contributor to Red Ice TV, and a fashion designer for her own clothing line.
Lana's, just like Ivanka Trump.
That's right, lanaslama.com, and we're going to have a great time with her and Henrik later this hour. Lana, how are you?
I'm pretty darn good, thank you. Yeah, I saw that Ivanka Trump, her brand is being pulled, so that's why I like to just do it independently, because I know these people would reject me anyway, so I don't even try.
That was actually something I was going to, Keith preempted me, that was something I was going to talk to you a little later this hour about. What was your reaction, though, from one fashion designer to another, to Ivanka being pulled by all of these stores?
I mean, she's not even right-wing. I mean, she's not even loud about it, but then just pull all her stuff just because of association, just because of her father, right? And now I hear, too, as well, that Trump's brands are being pulled from the big chain stores. And right away, I just thought, wow, all these mega capitalists are actually Marxists. It's happened. The merging has happened, and we're seeing it happen. And I think that it would be great if Trump can start passing maybe some discrimination laws that include right-wingers, too, because right-wingers are being fired, they're being discriminated against. If Christians have to bake gay cakes, well, then they have to sell these right-wing coats in their stores, right?
Well, Lana, this is Keith. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, they say. And I'm hoping that by going after Ivanka, maybe Ivanka and her husband Jared, who I think are on the left of President Trump's advisory team, may have the scales fall from their eyes and see the true mendacity of the left and maybe shed some of the leftist ideas that they have and come on hammer and tongs against his enemies the way that you and we are.
Well, I mean, hopefully it'll radicalize them, I think is basically what you're saying.
Amen. And you said it a lot shorter than I did.
Hopefully Nordstrom will now have rack space for Lana's Llama project products, right, Lana?
I was so disappointed that, too, because it was a Swede. It was a Swede that founded that store, and I always liked Nordstrom, so I was very disappointed when I heard about that. I'm like, okay, well, I won't shop there. I like to support small chains anyway, but, you know, the list of who you can buy from is very small anymore. I just did an analysis of 84 Lumber's Super Bowl commercial. I don't know
yes,
if you saw
yes.
that. And her father, who started that company, was a Republican and, you know, was supporting, you know, what Trump's about. And, geez. And she even claimed that she voted for Trump. And then she does this propaganda, this open borders propaganda commercial. It's just a bunch of baloney. So who can you support anymore, right?
Look, it's cultural Marxism, Lana. Think about Henry Ford and how right-wing he was. he's spinning in his grave as what at what has happened to the Ford Foundation, for example, and the Rockefeller Foundation, everything else. This is just the long march through the institutions, unfortunately, and now even retailers are succumbing.
Well, Lana asked the rhetorical question, who can you support anymore? Lanaslama.com.
That's right.
For
your
men and women clothing needs.
Unbossed and unbossed.
I think that this is really good to a lot of the censorship or when they clamp down and they ban people and they get rid of them, because it'll force right-wingers to build their own companies, and we do need those networks. We need our own platforms, our own stores. So I think that this is kind of good. It's going to force people into that direction.
Well, the internet is a key to all of this, too. You know, I think that these brick-and-mortar stores are going to go the way of the wild goose or the buggy whip.
Well, I hope so. And, of course, that's with that elongated introduction behind us now. And I did actually want to get into that topic of Ivanka because of how it relates to Lana's personal business. And I did want to plug her clothing line tonight, and we'll link to it on our website. But with that being said, obviously the work that y'all are doing at Red Ice is really matchless and has no peers. And we're going to talk a little more with Henrik about that later on in this hour. But the coverage that you have applied to Trump, I was remarking to Keith earlier today, we were on with you from Washington during the inauguration. That seems like a year ago now. So much has happened. I mean, he's keeping us so busy in terms of what we have to talk about and what we have to offer analysis and commentary.
He's a CEO. He's running the presidency like he's the CEO of a company. And
he actually went to work.
And he believes that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, so he's using those executive orders as he was taught by his mentor Barack Obama, and to devastating effect to the left.
So with that being said, Lana, what has been the most interesting aspect of the Trump administration 3 weeks in to you and your coverage as a commentator?
Well, several things. I'm going to go over a couple of my favorite executive orders and points there, but I have to say, how great is it to have a president who's tweeting about paid professional agitators and anarchists, the leftists. They've become so violent. I think he has his eye on them, so I'm hoping that he'll crack down on them. But I enjoy reading his tweets. It's very refreshing to have a president who's saying the things that he's saying and calling people out. But other things, I mean, as you guys know, I've been hearing about, you tweeted something, James, about raids that are happening, mass arrests of illegals right now across the country. I want to see footage of that because that actually makes me feel very happy. So I'm glad that that's happening. And the wall, of course, this is actually happening. I think we should maybe do a reality show around the building of this wall so we can see all the lefties who are crying and protesting. I'm sure there'll be terrorism there as well. But he is adding 5,000 more Border Patrol officers who are going to be able to enforce laws for once. And it's nice to see the energy coming back into the police force and a lot of these other agents who now feel free to be able to actually do their job. He said that, you know, deportations of illegals is one of his big thing right now. He said he wanted to triple resources to get this done, and he threatened to cut funding to sanctuary cities. So, I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. Other things that I like, Henrik and I were just talking about this, but the tax reform, he laid something out providing this would be the lowest tax rate since World War II. So if you're single and you make less than $25,000 or you're married and earn less than $50,000, you won't owe any income tax, which is fantastic. But
hallelujah.
But as Ron Paul knows, income tax is illegal anyway, right? But we'll kind of put that to the side.
That's a good point.
Lana, let me bring this one to you. I'm so glad he's focused himself on voter fraud, because that's the reason he lost the popular vote. Voter fraud in urban areas is baked into every presidential election, and it always goes for the Democrats. And I think this is really what we need to get. He needs to work on that so that when this first congressional election comes up in 2 years, we've got that purge from the system.
Well, I'll tell you, between the Red Ice family of programming and the different platforms that Lana and Henrik have to enjoy, they have a little more time to tackle these things. We're on once a week for 3 hours. And Lana, I tell you, I sweat in the studio every night just trying to work it all in. I mean, we're 3 weeks into this administration. It's just incredible how many good things we have to talk about.
Good things that are actually happening, he's living up to it. But yes, you're right. The illegals is a problem. Illegals that were voting, of course. And we all talked about that during the election, because California, they can go get a driver's license. Illegals can get a driver's license, no questions asked. And then from there, they can actually go vote. So it's just bogus.
Well, look, Lana, it's every part of the Democratic coalition. In Memphis, it's blacks, you know. We have a saying in Memphis, if you don't believe there's life after death, come to Memphis on election day. Dead people vote, empty lots vote, people vote in several districts and whatnot. Jeff Sessions, at episode that Coretta Scott King's letter addressed, was they found a black minister with a sack over his back like Santa Claus's, stuffing a mailbox full of absentee ballots down in Mobile, and he had the temerity to go after that, and of course that means that he is a white oppressor and a white supremacist. But that's a guy. I'm so glad he has that background, because let's use it now nationwide.
That's right. That's right. Now, also, what is going on with the travel ban? It was a meager 120 days for, what, 7 mostly Muslim countries and then 4 months for refugees. Not a big deal, right? Well, as we saw, the leftists were just going nuts. And so I've heard that there's U.S. federal appeals courts who are claiming they've just frozen and suspended this ban, and now he has to work to pass a new executive order. How is this even possible? Do you guys know?
Well, it's it's much ado about nothing, basically, as I see it. The most important thing is that since we have, that this was an immigration matter, which was.
She's like, well, see, this is what you should look at. See me, I smoke, and look at this. I'm just like, yeah, Mom, why don't you just try to quit?
Sometimes teenagers do know what they're talking about.
I've tried. I've brought them the little pamphlets that we get at school about not smoking, and I've, like, tossed it in front of them. I'm like, Mom, read this. We even got this thing from the American Cancer Society. It was this thing that you send around about not smoking, because my mom sends those things out. And she's, like, sitting here folding them up, and I was like, Mom, are you really going to send those out? And she's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, isn't that a slight bit hypocritical? She says, no, I'm going to send them out. I was like, well, don't you see something? These people are trying so hard to get people not to smoke. She was just like, well, I know it's wrong, and I know it's going to harm me, but it hasn't harmed me yet.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna.
Okay, so what's going on here is we're playing some Valentine's Day music at the top of each segment tonight.
This is Confusion's masterpiece.
All right, I've been on the air for 13 years. That's the first time, honestly, the first time we've ever missed a commercial break in 13 years of broadcasting. I could hear faintly the commercial break, because I know, of course, when the commercial breaks are supposed to come up, I mean, after all these years, and I could hear the commercial playing faintly in my headset, but we were still going out live over the air on the feedback monitor here in the studio. So I got with the producer, and I said, well, I think we might have missed a commercial break there. Then the commercial break gets piped up. We get interrupted midstream. Hey, but it's, you know what? That's one of the things, Lana, that makes live radio so endearing. We try to prove every week that we're live by hell or high water.
And we do by making mistakes, right?
Yeah. Well, we got a great team here, but it actually kind of endears us to our audience here. But anyway, so we say that with the professionals here,
yeah,
Lana.
Yeah,
and
we're amateur hour.
No, we're far from that.
Henrik's
far from that.
Now too.
Great, Henrik. Good to have you on the line.
Hey, yeah, thanks, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Man, you got the voice, bro.
Well, I don't know exactly where we were before all that excitement, but
the travel ban.
Yes, take it on, and then we'll get to Henrik also.
Yeah, well, here I was saying something about the travel ban. I think it's just this real easy, real quick. The left showed their hand. It's much ado about nothing. All he has to do is tell the agents to do extreme vetting. Extreme vetting for these people is show me your passwords. I want all the passwords to all your accounts. Check if they have anything the least bit suspicious, send them packing back home.
Yeah. great. Let's make it happen here.
Well, you know, and I said this too, Lana, with this, we were talking about this in the first hour, with this woman in Phoenix that has been deported. You know what? No tears for her will be coming from me. And if her family's crying about anything, it's that they shouldn't have been breaking the law in the first place. So
exactly.
You choose to break a law of a country. The consequences are enacted upon you, and we're supposed to feel bad about that? I don't feel bad about her at all. To her, I say that's one down, millions more to go. But your response to that, as a woman, did the media's treatment of that pull on your heartstrings as a woman at all?
Not at all. You know, I watched that 84 lumber commercial, and it was all about that. They try and show how most of these immigrants coming in, it's just these poor women and children, and you're separating them from their families. And as I say in the commentary, well, just all live in Mexico together, and then you won't be separated. But, of course, as we know, it's not just women and children coming in. There's a lot of criminals and drug dealers and people coming in for welfare and people coming in to take jobs. And as we know, the majority of women who actually do that route, I think it was what they say, like, high rape rate, like 80% of those women are getting raped trying to come into the country. So don't even act like they're all just innocent women and children who just want a better life. What about me? What about us and our kids? We want a better life, too, and we need jobs. There's no jobs for anyone anymore.
America for Americans.
That's right. The other thing I liked, I saw that Trump is creating a task force on crime reduction. So, yeah, he's going to go after illegals and drug trafficking, violent crime. But he actually told the mayor of Chicago, he said, clean it up or we're going to send the feds in there. I thought that was pretty good.
Well, again, it's unfair to even ask you to kind of recap in what limited time we have available in commercial radio to give us your highlights of the first, again, 3 weeks, three weeks into this administration. Donald Trump has done more good for the American people, for the founding stock of America, the traditional Americans, real Americans, in 3 weeks than George Bush did in 8 years. I don't think that's an exaggeration. I don't think that's hyperbole at all.
Or quite frankly, any president at any time in the past.
I mean, 3 weeks versus entire administrations, he's done more good in those 3 weeks. I know we have Henrik coming up for the last half hour of this hour, Lana, but certainly I want to cede the floor back to you. Anything else you had on tap, wanted to share with the audience that perhaps we haven't gotten to yet? And there's no shortage
hiring freeze, hiring new federal workers.
Yep.
I mean, how great is that? And also, he's looking to do a lifetime ban on lobbyists, you know, for foreign governments. I mean, that is great, restricting these officials from working as lobbyists after they leave the government and preventing, you know, lobbying the U.S. on behalf of a foreign government or foreign political parties. I mean, this is all good stuff. So we should be happy. And I know he's putting up with a lot of resistance, though. So we'll see how far he can push a lot of this immigration stuff. I think it's going to be quite a fight.
Well, we need to drain the swamp. And quite frankly, I hope he brings back waterboarding for Democrats.
Well, that would be nice, Keith. That's an idea for sure. And Keith also recommended Sam Dixon for the Supreme Court instead of Gorsuch, and I can fully get behind that. I don't know how likely that is. But, I mean, no, it's exhausting. It's exhausting for me to cover this on the radio once a week. I can't imagine this man going in there and in 3 weeks trying to push the most contentious of his campaign issues, and he is pushing them hard and fast and strong. And as I said in the first hour, Lana, he's even made cucks like Reince Priebus grow a spine. Reince Priebus said in an interview in reaction to his travel ban, we will not apologize. I mean, could you imagine somebody like Priebus saying that under any other president?
Yeah, that's great.
The mouse that roared.
And could you imagine, too, a Republican who actually said, hey, you know what? During World War II, a lot of people other than Jews also died, so we need to honor those people, too.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's actually something we haven't covered in the first 3 weeks of our coverage of the Trump administration. And then with Bill O'Reilly even saying, well, Putin's a murderer. And Trump says, well, you think we're so innocent, Bill? You think America's so innocent? You think we're not murdered?
Pat Buchanan said that LBJ said that the Kennedy brothers, Jack and Bobby, were running Murder Incorporated in the Caribbean.
Well, listen, we've had Lana on. Our time's almost up with her. We're going to transition to Henrik, and we even missed a couple of commercials. And it seems like this has been the fastest 30 minutes. This show is going by super fast, and it always does when you have
like
talent
five,
like this.
It felt like 5 minutes.
Doesn't it? And it always does. Lana, I want to thank you for having me on that initial time that got us in cahoots with Red Ice and with you and Henrik, and I appreciate you. I appreciate all the work that y'all are doing. You don't have any bigger fans than yours truly. I want to ask you, though, very quickly to plug Radio 314, what's up next for Radio 314, and, of course, your clothing line. Everybody has to wear clothes. That's what something
well,
like
James, food. You don't need to wear her clothes.
She has men's clothing. She has men's clothing, too, and that's something like food. Everybody eats. Everybody has to wear clothes. So plug those two things for us, Lana, if you can.
Head over to redice.tv, and you can see all the TV segments we produce, Radio 314, Red Ice Radio, some little mini documentaries. I just put out a video about the lie, breaking apart the lie that Margaret Sanger wanted to exterminate blacks. It's a bunch of BS, so that will be up tonight. Catch that. Lanaslama.com is the clothing line. So find me at redice.tv.
Lots of websites for someone as diversified.
Let's clarify, they do have men's clothes, so James doesn't have to wear women's clothes.
No. James won't be wearing women's clothes. They do have men's clothes. Maybe you should go check it out, Keith.
I sent you a Red Ice t-shirt, too. You know, we did a Red Ice t-shirt made out of organic cotton fabrics. I have to send you guys some of those.
As Keith can testify, I like to come into the studio in pajamas, and Lana's clothing is casual wear for going out. It looks nice, but it feels like pajamas.
But we've stopped him from wearing women's clothes.
No, you didn't do that.
That is the beauty of doing radio. You could record in your bathrobe, and nobody knows it.
That's exactly right. That's why we prefer radio to television. I hate putting that suit and tie on to go TV. That's actually why I rejected all those requests last year. Not because I didn't hate the press. God knows. Well, Lana, listen, in all seriousness, all joking aside, we've had a good time tonight. I thank you for coming on. Looking forward to Henrik for the last two segments of this hour. Folks, you got the websites. Write them down. Go back and listen to it once the archive's up. You need to be supporting Radio 314 Red Ice and lanaslamas.com. We'll be back with more right after this.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
During the swearing-in ceremony for newly confirmed Attorney General Jeff Sessions, President Trump announced three executive actions that he said are designed to restore safety in America. One was described as a weapon that would break the back of the criminal cartels that have spread across our nation and are destroying the blood of our youth. The second calls for creation of a national violent crime task force. The third instructs Sessions and the Justice Department to devise a plan to stop violence against law enforcement officers. One of the executive orders issued by Trump announced that his administration would pursue appropriate legislation that will define new federal crimes and increase penalties for existing federal crimes in order to prevent violence against federal, state, tribal, and local law enforcement officers. This could make the act of resisting arrest a federal felony. During the campaign, following an endorsement from a police union, Mr. Trump promised that he would issue an executive order mandating the death penalty for the killing of a police officer. While that cannot be done through a presidential directive, this executive order appears to be intended to bring about the same result through legislation, which would mean ignoring the Constitution's limits on federal criminal jurisdiction. The Constitution limits federal law enforcement jurisdiction to three crimes, treason, piracy, and counterfeiting, and delegates no authority whatsoever to any branch of the federal government to punish other violent crimes.
If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you are somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Valentine's week for sure. That's we judge it by the music tonight. That's for sure. Valentine's Day is coming up on Tuesday. And this is our last show before Valentine's Day, so you get some of that music.
I hate Valentine's Day.
As Eddie the Bombardier Miller slides in, we have a shift change here in terms of guest and in co-host. Keith's out and Eddie's in. And we have with us Henrik Palmgren. This is a guy, listen, when we went on the air in 2004, maybe we were the first media, I don't know, that was doing explicitly pro-white content. But I am telling you, folks, what Red Ice is doing is going to change everything. I have been absolutely blown away, not just by the commentary of Henrik and Lana, but by their production quality. They put the networks to shame. What they do in their videos is better than what you see on Fox and CNN. No one is doing more in media than these two, and they've got the stats and the views and the support to prove it, and I am happy to be working with them. And Henrik, it's great to have you on tonight. I cringed at the thought earlier this week that you had never been on this program before, and I'm happy that we can reconcile that tonight.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you, James. It's great to be on with you guys. Thank you for the invite. It was a pleasure to be on the other side of the microphone.
Yeah, it's rare. It's rare for us hosts to have that opportunity. And so y'all have extended that to me quite a few times, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. And great to have you, the founder of the Red Ice family of programming, on this evening, Red Ice TV. Incredible, incredible, incredible. We're going to learn a little bit more about the growth and expansion of Red Ice over the course of the next few minutes. But first, I'll ask you the same question I asked Lana. Henrik, what have been your biggest takeaways from the Trump administration so far? What do you think his biggest action, in your opinion, has been?
Yeah, I mean, you guys covered, I guess, the groundwork in terms of what he's done when it comes to executive orders. I think he's on good track of doing a lot of them. I think I read a piece today about the BBC. I guess they were worried that he was going to be the president that signs more executive orders than anyone else, even more than Truman, I believe it was, that signed like over 900 or something like that. But in any regard, I like to focus a little bit on the European angle, too, since I'm Swedish, and I keep an eye on what's going on over in Europe. And, you know, one of the things that I'm very positive about is that this seems to be a very reinvigorating force for European politics, too. But people are a bit more bold. It looks like Le Pen in France, Geert Wilders in Holland, Nigel Farage in the UK, and, of course, even the Sweden Democrats in Sweden seems to be emboldened by Trump's both daring rhetoric, but also the fact that he's doing what he's doing, that he dares to do it, and it sometimes it just takes a leadership role of someone just to show that it's possible to have, with a little bit of willpower and of course the seat that he has. But this, I think, is going to be really positive for European politics as well, and hopefully we can see a change in some of the European countries. They can feel that, all right, he's doing it, why can't we get politicians in place that start talking in the same way, start mitigating migration, start making sure that those who are illegals. I actually saw a news piece today out of Germany where I don't know if this is the right approach, but Merkel supposedly was going to earmark tens of millions of pounds or euros to make sure that migrants or illegal immigrants actually leave Germany. I guess it's a different way about it, to pay them to leave, but it's at least a sign that something is moving and changing in European politics. So I think Trump overall is going to have a really positive effect. And as you guys have said now, it's only 3 weeks in. I mean, where are we going to be in a year or two from now? It's amazing.
I'm so glad you brought up the European angle, Henrik, and I, it's no surprise to me that you would. Because, and first of all, of course, you're right as well. 3 weeks in, can you imagine 3 years, 4 years, 8 years at this rate? It's going to change. Everything has the potential to change. Donald Trump changed everything in 18 months from the time he descended that escalator to the time he won the presidency. But I was jealous of Europe a couple of years ago. You saw all of these right-wing nationalist parties gaining ground, gaining seats in parliament, gaining stature in national governments. And here we were basically doing nothing. Donald Trump changed that. So now that's reverberated on this side of the pond. And with Donald Trump now being the president, it will reinforce what's going on over there. And I think that we will see, and of course Buchanan's written about this, the nationalists of Europe, of America, the West, if you will be working together more and more and drawing strength from one another. And of course, as much maligned as Vladimir Putin is, who I think may be the greatest leader of the West right now, Trump has doubled down in his support to work with Putin, which I think is a great thing. And then I saw this from Nick Griffin today. Henrik, maybe you've heard about this. You can comment on it. In Hungary, Viktor Orban has issued a pronouncement that he will welcome refugees to Hungary, but not in the way you think. He's going to welcome refugees fleeing France and Italy. Listen to this headline, this first paragraph of the story. Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban has offered to open up his country to refugees, but only those seeking sanctuary from the liberal policies of Western Europe. Henrik, your thoughts on that as a native Norseman?
Yeah, exactly. I saw that too. I saw there was, I think it was specifically one town. I'm trying to find it here to speak, but it was one town that actually wants. Yeah, here it is. Esztergom, if I even pronounce that correctly. It was a Hungarian town that actually wants Europeans. And I've actually seen similar things from some of the Baltic countries. I forget if it was Estonia or Latvia, but they were basically one day out demonstrating, and people held signs that said, we will welcome Swedish refugees when Muslim ones have destroyed Sweden. And I think that this is pretty, I mean, obviously, in a way, it's not that they're joking, but in a way, it's good to get that kind of media attention to the fact that people around the world are paying attention to what's happening in some of these Western European and Northern European countries and realizing that the situation is very, very dire and that these people who are fleeing from their bad conditions simply are going to bring them to ours. And this is not the way to either help people, and it's definitely not a way for a historically successful society and civilization to completely just suicide itself in the way that Sweden has. So I'm glad that these kinds of stance, if we can call it that, out of Hungary and Estonia and Latvia actually occurs, because this shows the other countries that something is happening, this is for real, and one day we might have to take them up on that. Seriously, I mean, Sweden is so bad now where it's basically ready to collapse, economically speaking. We had one police officer doing this has been a news last couple of days here out of Sweden. He was basically doing one Facebook post as a police officer, saying basically that crime is out of control. The kind of jobs that they have to deal with these days, every day, day after day, is from rapes, gang rapes, to violent crime, the kind of violent crime we haven't really seen in Sweden for many, 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 many years. And just because of this, he was getting tremendous amount of flack initially, and he was basically barred from speaking any further from the other police authorities. But what happened is that just an ocean of flowers came into this guy in support, which demonstrates not only how many people are ready for this truth and hearing what actually is happening in the country, but it also shows the increasing pressure on the Swedish media landscape. What I'm saying is that one, I mean, it's just one Facebook post, and it cost, there was a support group set up for this police officer, and it was like over 200,000 people have joined that now, which is a lot for a relatively small population in Sweden. So the support is enormous, and it's enough just to get the dam burst to burst, so to speak, by having a little trickle of information coming through a Facebook post. So I think, though, at the end of the day, all of these kinds of things are really, really good, and the more we stir the pot, so to speak, the better it's going to be.
And, of course, what we're in this for is for the survival and the betterment of our people. So, of course, here in America, we are interested in what Trump is doing because, I guess, I'm a Native American, you're a Native Swede, but it's our people. And we have brothers and cousins in Europe that are more important to us than some of these people that are here squatting on this continent, that's for sure. And I do think that the nationalist tendencies, the populist tendencies of Trump will reinforce what's going on in Europe. What's going on in Europe will encourage Trump to take more bold actions. Nationalism is rising. The nationalist spirit of our people is being awakened. And I can't wait to see where it goes. An Orban-Putin-Trump alliance is what we need. We'll be back with Henrik Palmgren right after this.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
On the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
you that girl's heart for me.
All right, folks, we're going to find out what Eddie the Bombardier Miller is doing for Valentine's Day in the next hour. I can tell you that. We're going to trade stories. Just three married guys here talking on the radio tonight about making America and Europe great again. Henrik Palmgren with us from Red Ice Radio, Red Ice TV. What a guy. And what a talent. And what they've done, folks, is truly unprecedented. You know, I'm very proud of our portfolio here at the Political Cesspool, the things we've been able to do over the course of the last 13 years of broadcasting. I wouldn't trade my position here on Liberty News Radio for anything or any amount of money in the world. But and equally impressive and in different ways, what Red Ice has done is equally matchless and peerless. And, folks, if you're not listening to, supporting Red Ice Radio, Red Ice TV, you need to, because these are two people that are making a difference, Henrik Palmgren and Lana Lochte, RedIceTV.com. This is a true story, Henrik. I was talking to Eddie about an hour before we went on the air tonight, and he was driving out to the studio. I was already here, and he just said, I just saw the most incredible interview with Kevin MacDonald, and he was telling me all about this. I said, well, where was Kevin? Who was interviewing Kevin? He said, oh, it was Red Ice, and I said, well, you know, we got the Red Ice guys on tonight. And he didn't know that yet. And so about 5 minutes later, we gave Eddie the smelling salt. And so he said he wanted to ask a couple of questions tonight. But that is a true story. He unbeknownst to Eddie, we were having you on tonight, and he was just watching some Red Ice content. So take it away, Eddie. A question for Henrik.
Yes, it is true, Henrik. Eddie the Bombardier Miller here. I've been watching Red Ice probably every day for last 5 days. I'm just about finished looking at the greatest story never told. That's all we can say on this radio station here. But I would encourage people to go out there, and I would tell them if you don't ever watch another movie within this year, you need to see The Greatest Story Never Told on Red Ice. Yeah. It will destroy everything that you've ever believed about certain things in the world that we can't talk about on this show. But anyway, that's...
AM radio is a different animal. It does some things for us and takes away others.
But anyway, Henrik...
Just for the record, Eddie, that's Dennis Wise, by the way. We did an interview with him. That's maybe 2 years ago. Maybe that's how you heard of it first. But Dennis Wise is a really good filmmaker, too. I wish we would have produced it, but we didn't, just for the record.
Well, I listened to the interview also. Yes, I did. I listened to Dennis Wise's interview, the maker of the movie we're referring to, correct? He made the movie, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It was all I can say, it was incredible. One of the most incredible movies I've seen. I cannot encourage people enough to watch it. To use one of James Edwards' terms here, I want to ask you a rhetorical question. You know, he said the crime rate in Sweden is just worse in Memphis, Tennessee, even. It's just out of control. you know, and it's pretty bad here. Murders left and right. Well, let me ask you a question. It's a two-part question. Number one, why do you think the crime rate is being allowed to get out of control in order to bring Sweden along with other nations in Europe into this European world order, new world order? And, you know, the old Hegelian dialectic. If you want, when the powers that be, when they want something done, they create a problem. And then they supply the solution. Do you think that might be working? That's the first part of my question. And if you can remember it, why, and I guess this is another rhetorical question, why is the Swedish media so hell-bound to go against the vast majority of the Swedish citizens in keeping this crime, this out-of-control crime, keeping it suppressed, trying to keep the rest of the world from getting out? What about that, Henrik?
A lot to unpack for you. Take it away, Henrik.
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, I there's two parts to this. I think the initial question, the first question, Sweden has never been like a police state. It's never moved in that direction. That somehow they see an increase in crime as an opportunity to militarize the police or to ramp up surveillance. I'm sure that is part of the equation. To be honest, I'm sure there's people along the way that can realize that kind of problem reaction solution issue is very applicable to reform Sweden, which has been traditionally a very safe society and one that's been very free from crime for many hundreds of years. So that's one part of it. The other part is, of course, that you have a cultural element here where most Swedes, and even especially those in positions of authority, they tend to look the other way. They tend to deny that something is happening. They tend to basically make pretend that it's not as bad as it is. And that kind of works in unison with what you talk about in terms of the media, the fact that the media is controlled by very few political opinions. They're all left-wing. I think there was a study done, it's probably a year or two ago now, where they showed that I think over 80% or something that worked in media were basically Green Party supporters, which is completely, you know, out of whack when it comes to the statistics of where the Green Party is. And most of these are complete, you know, leftists. They're just open border advocates. They're crazy when it comes to the immigration issue. So you have very few hands controlling the Swedish media. Plus, of course, it's government subsidized, meaning it's, you know, state controlled in that regard. You have state media that's pushing this one view and this one vision. But just what's happening in the States now with the media is basically plummeting. There's no trust in it anymore. People are walking away from it. They go to alternative media. That's really exploded in Sweden in the last 2 years because the vision that they're pushing in the Swedish media just doesn't correlate with the reality that people see out there. And that's why this, as I said, this one Facebook post that this police officer did can basically become a national story. It's one Facebook post. It's seemingly it's nothing. It shouldn't be, you know, whatever. It's one guy, one Facebook post. But that's how intense the pressure is right now. So, I mean, you're right. The Swedish media has sold out their people. They've turned their back on them. It's controlled by a very narrow opinions on the left. And then in unison with that, you have a denial mechanism on top of it as well. It's a very rigid and controlled conformist environment in Sweden, which I think is actually very difficult for Americans to kind of wrap their head around if they never visited the country for a longer period of time to kind of to get like understand the climate that we have in Sweden. And parts of it can be good sometimes. There is something good sometimes with the conformity of a population, because what I like to say is that think about when it swings the opposite way, right? Right now it's been left-wing, open-border kind of narrative that's been controlling the Swedish media for such a long time. When it becomes acceptable to say no to things like immigration, when it becomes acceptable to start propagating for your own people again or for nationalism or these kinds of things, then that's going to be the dictating narrative. It's going to be acceptable. You're going to have a slew of people. What I'm saying, when we tip those scales, we're going to have a majority of people, they're going to go in the right direction, so to speak, for the health of the nation. So it is a little bit difficult to kind of explain the dynamic of how this kind of takes place and why it's happening and why it's such an incredible just suicidal scenario from the outside that I imagine most people are aware. They look at Sweden and it's like, what are they doing? How is this allowed to happen? Why is it not speaking up? And you know, all that is true. It's happening, but give it time. It is going to swing. It's starting to swing right now. And when that happens, when we've tipped the scales and the conformity, so to speak, goes in our direction, you're going to see
the tsunami.
I believe you're going to see Sweden pick up in a way that we've never seen a country do before. So I have faith in it.
That's a great answer, Henrik. And,
well, the best
and, you
I've
know,
heard.
And it's like, it is. It absolutely is. That was a great question by you too, Eddie, to get him going. And it's just, as they said in the Gone with the Wind, I mean, here in the South, there has been no more maligned people other than Germans, than white Southerners. Sure. And there's a scene at the end of Gone with the Wind where they, as the Confederates were retreating, one of the characters says, one day they will turn and fight. And one day the Vikings will turn and fight too. There is no way I can be led to believe that the Viking stock will not turn and fight one day and take back what's rightfully theirs with authority, as people and men, real men like Henrik, are doing. And Henrik, when that day comes, it will be because of people like you and Lana and the rest of us who have been out there fighting and plowing the fields for years and years and years. We have only seconds remaining, and I intended to spend a little bit more time on this, but it goes by so quickly when you have a guest like y'all on. But what's next for Red Ice? The growth has been exponential. The growth has been staggering. What's on tap for the next few months and perhaps this year for Red Ice Radio and Red Ice TV?
Definitely, yeah, tons of new segments. We're going to try to bring more people on. We want, actually, if there's anyone listening that's a video editor who does animation, professional work, who can do graphics, we're hiring, we're expanding right now. We do want to get you on. Reach out to us. We have the application, if you will, on the website, redice.tv. We're going to produce tons of more segments. We're going to bring on more people. We want to have people who contribute to our TV show. We're going to try to expand that in a different way and do initially maybe shorter segments as opposed to longer shows. and try to get a diversity, a range of different topics under the banner of Red Eyes TV. And then once we get the wheels turning, once that moves, we can actually expand these segments to a little bit longer segments, and eventually we can be at a place where we actually do full-time shows out of these segments. So that's really the trajectory that we're trying to get here. And, of course, we're doing it all ad-free. We have a member site. That's how we fund the operation. No ads, no commercials, nothing like that. So people out there, if they want to support us, you can do that. You get a membership, and you can watch our live show that we do each week and stuff like that, too. So we have a lot of stuff there for people. But, that's really connecting.
RedIce.tv, the music came in. RedIce.tv, RedIce.tv. Henrik, I want to thank you for all the support you've given me and my work and the many appearances I've had on your platform. Looking forward to an increased collaboration as the months roll by. Thank you and Lana for coming on with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys are so kind. Take care. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll be back with the third and final hour right after this with Eddie the Bombardier Miller.